Shabbat Shalom. Welcome to this week's Living Torah. And here we are. It's wet out here today. We've had quite a time of rain as we finished Sukkot. The tent is down. Everybody is gone. Well, pretty much everybody is gone. We've still got some campers and a few tents and things. Oh, those are my tents. That's right. We've got a few people that have not quite cleared out totally, and that's okay. For those of you that were with us at Sukkot, you know what an incredible time it was that words just cannot hardly explain the time that we had. And I pray that those of you that were at different Sukkots, that you also were blessed. We prayed for you guys every single day. We prayed for every Sukkot that was going on, no matter where it was and who was leading it. We prayed for every Sukkot that the presence of the Father would be poured out at each one. And, you know, he has plenty of his Spirit to pass around. And I tell you what, he sure didn't miss us the other day as we had just came together as the whole week. And in the next couple of weeks, God willing, I'm going to be working on right now. I've got some computer things I'm dealing with and working through and trying to update a few things. I haven't had a chance to do that in quite a while. But hopefully in the next week or so, I'll have a CD that will be available of all of our messages here at our Sukkot. And they're going to be raw, uncut, pretty much unedited. There'll be an MP3 format on one CD. But look for that probably next week on the newsletter. And we'll have a link of how you can receive those. And it's going to be a lot of the music. You'll even get the announcements and things like that. Like I said, I'm not going to cut a lot out. It's just going to be something. We're going to make the cost just, you know, very minimal. And you'll be able to put that in your computer, or if you have an MP3 player, but specifically if you have iTunes or something like that, it'll just input automatically. And so you can listen to it. You can burn CDs from it and do whatever you'd like to. But It was a great time, and I guess Kathy just received an email and said, you have to listen to this, that one of the folks who was out here, she had never been camping before in her life. It's her first time in a tent, and so we were out here in these tents for the 8 days of Sukkot, and she just sent an email and said, my, how times change. She said, I came back, and last night, she said she woke up in the middle of the night, and she said, I looked around and said, why does my tent have bedroom doors? And her husband got out of bed to go to the restroom and said, this grass feels really funny tonight. So, I won't tell you who sent the email, but it was one of my board members and his wife. You guys that were out here know who was here. There was only one of my board members that was here. So that was just hilarious and kind of an ending of a wonderful week. And, you know, the funny thing is that we went through the whole week and I turned on the news and nothing's changed, you know, and it was just worthless news, just dumb stuff that was happening all week. You know, they're still here. We are having an awesome time in the presence of our Creator. And they're still worried about the health care bill. You know, so we saw a couple of people healed out here. We saw, we had only one person that got a little flu and prayed for them. And all of a sudden, there they are. And we're feeling better. We had no injuries, no nothing really happened. I mean, just a couple little tiny things, you know, needed a couple of Band-Aids. But they were all talking about health care. We were just walking with the physician, you know. H1N1 didn't bother us one bit here. And the fact that, you know, Obama won the Peace Prize. Wow. I got an email this morning that said that he ate a piece of cake and has now won the Betty Crocker cook-off. So, well, that's the news of today. And it just gets crazier and crazier. And those of us who have gone through this Moedim, this appointed time, we have had time to spend with the one who created heaven, the heavens and the earth, which we will read about this morning, and or whenever you're listening, but I'll read about it. It's still morning where I'm at. My head's still a little spinning just a little bit. It's going to take probably till the millennium, till that happens, till that quits happening. So you tune in anyway, and here we go. Well, this is this morning is starting my seventh Torah cycle that I have done now via streaming video. Some of you guys, the hardcore, have been with us all the way from back in 2003, I guess it was, when we started doing the streaming video and going through the Torah. I have struggled over the last few months. I've had our prayer team, I've talked to them about it, I've talked to a couple of board members, and I've talked to some close friends about this, that I've struggled over the last few months of what to do. And some of you have heard me. I got water here, so if I get water in my Bible, I don't like that. So I just put my towel right there. But I've struggled over what to do in these coming up on this Torah cycle. And I've said this, I think, on the video, that I don't, coming to the end of the sixth, you know, six is the number of man in Scripture. And I kind of feel like, in a way, that I have done all that I can do. And so I'm just praying that in this year, the seventh year, that there will be something supernatural that happens in me, in you, that will take the Torah to a whole new level of understanding in our lives. How that's going to work, I don't know. But I guess we're going to walk it out together. I've been praying about this a lot, of what to do. And I can tell you that as of this morning, I didn't have any clue. And right now, when I tell you what we're going to be doing this year, I'm not saying that this is what the Father has just, you know, I got up this morning looking for an email and looking for a text. He didn't send me an email again. He didn't text me and tell me what to do again. So I just know that, you know, I did look out the window, and even though it's cloudy, I could tell the sun came up today, or the earth spun around, or where the sun went back to the position of we have light. So it was another cycle. There's been over, I added up, there's been over 2,100,000 sunrises since he created everything some 6,000 years ago. He's been faithful for over 2 million cycles on this earth, of the earth rotating like it's supposed to. Gravity this morning is still, I'm still sitting. And everything that he's spoken to existence is still like it was. And so it wasn't a voice, it wasn't an email, it wasn't the cloud, you know, the writing in the clouds or anything like that. But I just felt like when I got up, just do what I told you to do. Just go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and start there. And so that's what we're going to do. You know that over the last years we've gone through the Brit Hadashah, we've gone through the Gospels. And I just didn't feel like that was what we were supposed to do as far as adding something on. And so this morning I sat down at my desk and I turned the page back over to Joshua, and it just felt right. And I started reading it. And so I looked a little bit farther, and I went through and I saw that it's Judges, and it's 1st and 2nd Samuel, and it's 1st and 2nd Kings in the way that the scriptures were originally arranged. So I don't know if this is going to continue on. I know that this morning this is what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do next week, but this morning here's what we're going to be doing, is we will announce the, of course, and go through the Torah portion for the week. I'll give you the Haftorah readings. And then we're going to take Joshua, Judges, 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings. We're going to split that up into 52 readings. I just got this morning, folks. And so I'm going to probably spend a week or two just going through it and making sure that this is what I really feel like the Father wants us to do. I appreciate your input, by the way. And the reason I'm doing this is because we have a lot of people who are kind of new into Torah. We have some people that have come into this Messianic Hebrew Roots movement, and weren't even a part of a church. Wow, that's kind of an interesting thing. We have a lot of youth and a lot of children that do not know the stories, do not know the accounts of things that I grew up with, of the account of Samson and of Gideon and various ones, and Elijah and Elisha. So we're going to go through the Torah And we're also going to look at these, the accounts of real people walking out some real lives right here. And I think that's going to be a faith builder for us as we go through the year. I don't know. So that's the plan right now. And that's just the way it's going to be at the moment. So stick around. New beginning this morning, this day, as we go into Genesis chapter 1. And just as an announcement, Kathy is, as I'm recording on Wednesday, she has a flight out on Friday and is going to be with her parents again unless something changes for the next 2 weeks. And so they're still, it's just a steady, kind of a steady, slow thing. But the father was very faithful in that Kathy was really having to deal with, you know, what would have happened if her father had died during the time of Sukkot. That would have been a very difficult thing. And so he was faithful, as he always is, and we didn't have to deal with that question. Now, we start out in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, with creation. We're going to go through Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, through chapter 6, verse 8, Isaiah 42, verses 5 through 21, and Joshua chapters 1, 2, and 3, some of those verses we read even last week. And for those of you that may have been, you know, kind of tuning in the last year, you have to understand something about the way I look at Scripture. I look at it very literal. And so it says that in the beginning that He created the heavens and the earth in one day. I believe that to be one literal day. I do not believe it to be 1,000-year or million-year period. I do not believe that to be a time period other than 24 literal hours. And I believe that I can base this on some wonderful teaching by Institute for Creation Research, by Hogan, Dr. Dino, drdino.com, and various ones that are out there that have taught that that when the Father says something, He means it just like He said. And I don't believe in another planet, you know, in another Earth, and another time period prior to. And base that on a scripture that says, with Adam, death and sin entered into the world. And so that if there was death on this Earth prior to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, then that verse is not true. Because if there was dinosaurs alive on planet Earth prior to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and they died, then death was in the earth prior to that verse. And it calls into question everything of the Scriptures. You know, that is the plan of the enemy, to make you question. And if you cannot accept this, in the beginning, Elohim created the heaven and the earth. If you cannot accept those verses, that verse, and if you cannot accept the verses of chapter 1, that they are in literal form, and that this is exactly how it happened. We are not given all the details, but this is exactly how it happened. If you and I cannot accept these verses as they are, then you will never accept any verse in the Scripture. There will always be doubt in your mind all the way through to Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all the way through to Revelation. There are websites out there, many of them that you can receive, many resources that you can go out and get and you can study, that will come back and will take the evolutionary process and make you understand that all evolution does is make a monkey out of man. So, I challenge you. Go back, do your research, and see what happens. So, we're gonna hit a few verses here, but I can't, you know, this is the Torah portion. Probably this one, the next one that just really bothered me is I'd like to spend like a year in this Torah portion and the next one, and we don't have it. We have like 50 minutes, and I've already used 14 of those, and we've got to move on to the next Torah portion. So. I want to bring up something right here at the start, that in verse 3, then Elohim said, let there be light. I don't know Hebrew. I believe that he was speaking Hebrew. But in English, we have before us, think of this, the creator of the universe that spoke it all into existence, we have recorded the words that he spoke. You know, there's this Heritage Foundation that's doing all this of, you know, what Reagan said, and there's all these different websites you can go to and quotes of different people from, you know, Will Rogers to Abraham Lincoln to all these. And people make a big deal of the quotes that these human, you know, mortal humans said. I have a book in front of me that has recorded to mankind what Yahweh, the creator of the universe, the Almighty, the Omnipotent One, the Holy One of Israel, I have a book in front of me of his words, of his quotes. That to me is incredible. That he would so desire to make himself known unto mankind and to womankind, that he would make himself known unto us by giving us his words. Think about that for a little while. That's kind of way beyond anything that our minds can comprehend. And that he said these things, and it's not only that he said it, but it's still going. You know, what he said then, 6,000 years ago, is still happening today. Let there be light, and there was light, and there is light. 6,000 years, over 2 million sunrises, there is still light happening day after day. There is night happening night after night. There is still, go out and look, there is still water that is under the sky gathered into places. There is still the sea. There is still gravity. There is still the seed-bearing fruit of the earth. I said in the Torah, in the written one, that, you know, the way he said it is the way it still is today. He is constant. As everything else is changing, he is constant. When he said that he was going to bring forth plants, each yielding its own kind of seed and producing its own kind of seed-bearing fruit. We have tomatoes out there. We planted tomatoes this past year. Didn't get a single cucumber. Didn't get a single watermelon. Didn't get a cantaloupe. Didn't get anything except for tomatoes off of those things. We have plants all over here, and they are producing according to their own kind. That everything is happening just the same as it has been from the beginning. And that we know this truth, that our Creator, the one that we serve, does not change. Evolution changes. Man changes. Everything around us changes. But He does not change. He is faithful. He has been faithful all through the ages. That which He spoke still is. And so if you and I are at any time having a problem with faith, if we're having a problem doubting that he is there, doubting that He is willing and able to take care of us, all you have to do is walk outside and see how things are still the same. This morning, I have a coat on. You know why? Because it's called global cooling. It's called climate change. It's something that just didn't happen when Al Gore and all these other people, I'll tone that down, decided that there was, you know, wow, there's global change. How do these people go through college and not figure out that there's summer and there's winter and there's fall and there's spring, and that's called climate change? You know, go back and read the scriptures. The very fact that I have a jacket on today and it is something like, you know, 50 degrees out here means that when he brought it forth and said this is the way it's going to be, it still is. You know, I can't tell you what is going to happen in the next year. I can't tell you that as we, you know, this is another very prophetic year. The last one's been pretty good. This one's going to be even better. But I can't tell you what's going to happen. I can't tell you what's going to happen in 5 minutes. I can't tell you what's going to happen by the time I turn my computer off and get this video recorded today. I don't know. I haven't been there. But I know one who has been there, and one who declared, out of the beginning, he declared the end. Nothing has ever taken him by surprise. And the very fact that everything has continued on the same as he said it was going to 6,000 years ago means he can probably take care of me. You know, if he has the power, and he does, to speak a word, you know, he said, let there be light. Let there be light. And there was. If he can do that, you know, he didn't say let there be a sun to give forth light. He didn't say let there be stars to reflect the light and a moon to he said let there be light. He created light in the first place. You know, that's still going at like 186,000 miles a second or something. I mean, when he spoke this thing, he really spoke it good, you know. If he can do that, why am I concerned about what tomorrow may bring? You know, that just doesn't make sense, does it? So why don't we not be so concerned? And if you got a problem with faith, if any of us has any problems with faith along the way, all we have to do is go back, look at the scripture, and see, gravity is still gravity. Cinnamon, you're still a dog, aren't you? Yeah. She hasn't turned into a cat all the way along the way. It's just, maybe I'm driving that one a little bit too far, but this is the way it is, you know. This Torah portion is all about the fact that he can be trusted. That we're not hoping for change. We're confident that he will not change. All right. Chapter 2 is, we go down to, well, all of chapter 2 is kind of a summation of chapter 1. It's like retelling the story. It's not a confusing thing. It's retelling the story just in a little different, way. And in chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, on the seventh day, Elohim was finished with his work which he had made. So he rested on the seventh day from his work which he had made. He blessed the seventh day and separated it as holy, because on that day, Elohim rested from all his work, which he had created, so that it itself could produce. I mean, the whole teaching of Shabbat, you know. We could go into hours and hours and hours on that. I've got teaching. I need to redo some and update all this. That's one of my projects right now. We've got some projects coming this year. I think if it continues on like I'm kind of seeing it, there's some exciting things that are going to be coming out in the next weeks. We're working on it right now. And we'll see what happens. I can't promise you anything at the moment, but if it comes about like I think it is, it's going to be some exciting stuff. So, but he rested on. Now, see this? Go back and look. He didn't separate the seventh day so that he could attend a church service or a congregational meeting. He separated the seventh day, not so he could go to the mall. Not so that he could do, you know, go to breakfast with his wife because he didn't have one. He separated the seventh day so that he rested. Not that he needed rest. I mean, we were out here the other night, and one of the little girls, she says, I sleep, but he doesn't sleep. And she pointed up, you know. And then she looked around and she said, all these people under the tent, they sleep, but he doesn't sleep. He doesn't need rest. He is setting a pattern for us that we need rest. And this pattern is going to be one that goes through the next 6,000 years, goes through the millennium, and in fact goes into eternity. And so this is a new Torah cycle that we are in. It is a new beginning. So why don't you and I, just right from the start here, it's cold, right from the start, why don't you and I decide right now in this new Torah cycle that we are going to just take the level of commitment, our looking at Scripture and be serious about it, you know? That let's leave the excuses in last year, and let's allow Him to just work on our lives in the next this next year as we go through the Torah cycle. A few verses. One of them is these awesome verses about the creation of man and the creation of woman, and how Adam there was not a companion that was suitable for him. And so he was forced into a sleep, and the father took a rib. And of course, you know, teaching about that, about the rib. But it says that this is why a man is to leave his father and mother and stick to his wife, and they are to be one flesh. You know, there's so much that is in these first few chapters of Genesis. There's so many life lessons. Really, the foundation of everything that we need today is in the first few chapters of the book of Genesis. If we'll just get back to there, we'll see that he did not create Adam and Eve. He didn't create Adam and Steve. He did not create Adam and Eves. You know, this is the way that he desired it to be in the first place, that there would be one man, one woman. There would be a husband, and there would be a wife, and this would be a singular thing. And it is man who continues to try to pervert these things. And it is that we should then leave our mother and father and cling to our wife. There's a whole teaching right there that we can go to, that many problems in marriage are because little Johnny never actually leaves mommy and daddy, but he just kind of joins with his mommy, a new mommy. And you need to, you know, guys, you need to grow up. You need to start learning how to stand on your own two feet. Leave mommy and daddy behind, and you need to learn how to take care of your wife. Boy, that'll go a long ways, won't it? So I'm gonna go through just a few verses here, we'll continue on. There's too many things I could go just, you know, into one verse, so I'm just gonna kind of skip through a few. In chapter 3, verse 6, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, it had pleasing appearance, and the tree was desirable for making one wise, she took some of its fruit and ate. What if she would have gone ahead and eaten kosher? Oh, you know, if she'd have said, that tree's not kosher, I'm not supposed to be eating that thing, everything would be different today. Now, it didn't take the father by surprise. He knew it was going to happen. But this whole thing about food, you know, that's one of the things we were talking about out here the other day with Paul Neeson. And you can go to his website. I think it's Paul Neeson, and it's N-I-S-O-N .com. And you learn about the food and the reasons for taking care of the tabernacle of the living Elohim, that the Father gives us rules and He gives us guidelines. He gives us instructions. He didn't give us these things because He was trying to hold something away from us. He didn't give us these things because He was trying to hold back. To Eve, it looked desirable for making one wise. When we see things through our own sight, we can get so deceived. We need to look at things through His eyes, through His Word, because that tree did not make us real wise. That tree, in the end, though it may have been desirable, though it may have been fruit that tasted good, it wasn't good. It had no good purpose for Adam and Eve. And in fact, it caused the fall of mankind. But like I said, this did not take the Almighty by surprise. For in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, He says to the serpent, I will put animosity between you and the woman, between your descendant and her descendant. He will bruise your head, and you will bruise his heel. This is not something that He just came up with on the fly, because we know that the Scripture says that Messiah was executed before the foundations of the earth were even laid. He knew these things would take place. He knew the sin of Adam and Eve. And in fact, good news, He even knew the sin that you and that I would become a part of. He knew the mistakes that we would make in life. He knew the things that we would get involved in. He knew the hardness of our heart, the stiff-necked life that we would lead. But we go back a page. In the beginning, He created the heavens and the earth. Though this is one of the most intriguing thoughts, I think, that I have ever tried to deal with in life, that knowing that He declared the end out of the beginning, that means that He knew everything that would take place. The Messiah was slain from the foundations of the earth. Sin didn't take Him by surprise. The fall of Adam and Eve, the sin that you and I would commit, did not take Him by surprise. That you and I would be a stiff-necked and hard-hearted and backsliding people, those things didn't take Him by surprise. And with all that, He created us anyway. What incredible love. What absolute incredible love that He has for us, and what our future must hold, that is really beyond comprehension in any way, that if He was willing and is willing to go through all the heartache that is here, that is revealed in the Scriptures, and all the heartache that's revealed in our lives, and if He was willing to do that, and yet, anyway, He created the heavens and the earth, there's a love that I don't have words for. There's a love that none of us have words for. Chapter 4. My wet pages of my Bible here. This is should have gone up under the porch today, but it'll dry out. Chapter 4, verse 7. We read about the story of Cain and Abel and murder that would happen. That one would bring a sacrifice that was acceptable. The other would bring a sacrifice of his own doing. It was, it says, in the course of time, Cain brought an offering to Adonai from the produce of the soil. Abel, too, brought the firstborn of his sheep, including the fat. And we can go through and read this. But it was only one that did it the right way. There's a way that seems right unto man that is the way of destruction. We can only do what is right when we are doing it the way that He says. If you and I bring an offering that's any way different than what He has told us to bring it, it will not be acceptable. We may have worked at it. We may have done all kinds of good deeds for it. It's not acceptable. It's only the way that He has prescribed. And that's why it is so important for us to go back through the Scriptures, not just reading the Torah every year, but the Scriptures. You know, I've given you, we're going to read the Torah, we're going to read through Joshua to the end of 2 Kings. But that's the only thing you're going to do this year. We need to have our own reading, our own time of reading the rest of the books. You need to have some time in the Psalms, in Proverbs. You have some of your own time in the Gospels again, and just looking through and studying the Scriptures for yourself. Use this this that we do together weekly. Do this as a springboard to start your study of Scripture. Don't use it as the end. In verse 7 of chapter 4, it says, if you don't do what is good, sin is crouching at the door. It wants you, but you can rule over it. This is a principle that's still holding true today. That sin is still today crouching at the door of our lives, desiring to overcome us. But because I can do all things through Messiah who strengthens me and gives me power, I do not in this new Torah cycle, in this new beginning that we have. His mercies are new every single day. They're new today as we begin the Torah cycle. And so, in this coming year, we are able to master the sin that is crouching at the door. I guess you go back to one of the things that somebody said, that sin is crouching at the door, so just don't open the door. Well, that's a good way to look at it. when you see those things, don't allow the door to open so that it can come in and start to destroy our lives. There was a group of people that did allow that, and it's, you know, you got five chapters into this thing, and, you know, we've already seen so much. And then we go to the sixth chapter, and it says, in time, when men began to multiply on earth, the daughters were born to them. The sons of Elohim saw that the daughters of men were attractive, and they took wives to themselves, whomever they choose. Now, there's a number of different interpretations here. One of those is that the sons of Elohim would have been those who were following his ways, and the daughters of men would have been those that were following man's ways. It may have been that it wasn't this, you know, the giants and the UFOs and the aliens, and I don't believe in UFOs and aliens, by the way. But, you know, this could be just as it said right there. That's good. That is one interpretation for it. It could have a demonic presence. It could be something that has something to do with demonic presence. And we go and see that here in the next couple of verses we read. Adonai said, my spirit will not live in human beings forever, for they too are flesh. Therefore, their lifespan is to be 120 years. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterwards, when the sons of Elohim came to the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. These were the ancient heroes, men of renown. You know, I've listened to a lot of the teaching on this. It's the, I guess Brad would call this the Area 51 stuff. And when it comes down to it, you know, were these the giants? Were these the demonic forces that had somehow figured out how to procreate with women, with the on the earth? I don't know. And you know something? It's not really that important. To me, I guess, maybe to some people it is, but to me, it's not that important. I read it, and what I see in here is there was a group of people that turned away from Elohim. You know? That's all that I need to know right there. Today, maybe tomorrow I'll find something more. And like I said, I've looked at it, I've studied it, I've heard the stuff. I've, you know, gotten up in the morning and driving along early, and I've listened to Coast a little bit, you know. And you can get some wackos on that show, just people out in the middle of nowhere, you know. These people, many of them just need jobs. They have way too much time on their hands, so. It doesn't matter to me. What these demonic forces, whatever. What I do see is there was a group of people that turned away from the Creator, and I don't want to have anything to do with that group of people. Pretty simple, isn't it? Adonai saw that the people on earth were very wicked, that all the imaginings of their heart were always of evil only. Adonai regretted that he had made humankind on the earth. It grieved his heart. Adonai said, I will wipe out humankind whom I am created from the whole earth. And not only for human beings, but animals, creeping things, and birds of the air. For I regret that I ever made them. Six chapters in, and he regrets that he ever made man. And one verse changed it all. There's a saying, can one man make a difference? Well, I'm going to read you a scripture that proves it. But Noah found grace in the sight of Adonai. One man made a difference. You don't know who to go to in eternity and thank? Noah. Because if it wasn't for him, you and I wouldn't be here. If it wasn't for the grace that Noah found in the sight of Adonai, everything would have ended right there. If it wasn't for the life of Noah and his faithfulness to follow what had been revealed to him in that day, if it wasn't for that, the scripture would be a lot shorter than it is. In fact, it would be in my Bible 5.5 pages long. It would have gone from the end to the beginning. He created the heavens and the earth, and then he wiped out everything that he created. But because one man made a difference, one man was faithful, we have the rest of Scripture. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? That to me is pretty amazing, that Noah, one man, could stand in righteousness, and he could actually have a heart that was so, so incredible before the Father, that the Father would say, because of this man, I'll take another chance with humankind. Well, pretty good, huh? Because, see, but the truth is that this was all in the plan. This was, the Father knew in Genesis chapter 1, because see, his plan has been to get, when he started Genesis chapter 1, think of it this way, that if I ask you to go to the beginning of Scripture, many of you would go to Genesis chapter 1, it's wet, many of us would go to Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, and say, well, this is where Scripture begins. No, it doesn't begin there. Do something with me. Go to Revelation, which we read last week. Then I saw a renewed heaven and a renewed earth, chapter 21. For the old heaven, the old earth had passed away, the sea was no longer there. Then I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven from Elohim, prepared like a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud voice from the throne say, see, Elohim, Yahweh, Shekinah is with mankind. He will live with them. They will be his people. He himself, Elohim with them, will be their Elohim. I'd like you to consider that that is the beginning of Scripture. That he had a dream, he had a vision. And that vision was a people who would serve him. That vision was a people that would love him. That vision was a people that would be his and he would be theirs. That this is the beginning of Scripture. And then he started it back here in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. He began the vision right here. And then he started it. He started start, as one person said years ago. And the whole thing is not based really in truthfulness, is not based upon one person's faithfulness. We read a little bit about him last week, about Joshua. You know, Moses came to the end of his life and he died. Well, then Joshua took over, did he not? See, the promises are not based upon man. The promises are based upon the Word. The promises are based upon the faithfulness of the one that we serve, the Holy One of Israel. The promises are based upon Him never changing. That when He says something, He means it and will always, always follow through with those words. So that's why we can continue from Deuteronomy and we can turn the page to the baton of faith being passed off from Moses to Joshua. That's why we can see all the way through, as we will, I guess, this year, as we go through Judges, and we go through Samuel, and we go through Kings, we are going to see the faithfulness of the one that we serve, and that his promises are not based upon you and I. His promises are not based upon me succeeding or failing. His promises are not based upon the ministry of joined to Hashem succeeding, whatever in the world that means. His promises are based upon His Word. See, if for some reason, and I don't foresee this happening, but if for some reason during the next year, all of a sudden, I got up here and I just said, you know, folks, I've turned away from the God of Israel. I've turned away from the Torah. I've decided to go back to a denominational church, or I've decided to walk away from the whole thing. And I just said, okay, it's been nice knowing you for over 6 years, but I'm turning the camera off, and that's it. It's over. And I shut it down. His promises did not cease that day. In fact, in the scheme of things, I really didn't make any, there was not, it wasn't even a blip on the radar screen of what had happened as far as his promises going forth or not. His promises are going to go forth no matter what. And they're going to be an awesome thing when they do, because, you know, you go to Joshua chapter 2 and Rahab, I've done a little bit of research. I'm having a hard time with the word prostitute there, because the word can be innkeeper. And so I'd rather make the mistake, you know, go meet Rahab in eternity and say, Rahab the innkeeper, she says, well, it wasn't quite that way. I'd rather do that than, you know, than she actually was an innkeeper and not a, you know what I'm talking about. I want to err on the side of mercy on this one. But she says in chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, that she said, I know that Adonai has given you guys the land. Fear of you has fallen on us. Everyone in the land is terrified at the thought of you. We've heard how Adonai dried up the water at the Sea of Suf ahead of you when you left Egypt, what you did to the two kings of Amori on the other side of the Yarden, Sichon and Og, and you completely destroyed it. As soon as we heard it, our hearts failed us. Because of you, everyone is in a state of depression. Talk about depression. 40 years. They, you know, this is before all these antidepressants, I guess, because they had been in depression for 40 years. They knew that the Israelites were coming back. I don't know how they knew, but they knew, and they knew that they weren't allowed to be there. You know, for Adonai, your Elohim, he is Elohim of heaven above and on earth below. And then she goes on and she makes a little deal with these guys. These are fun scriptures to me because it's been 40 years now. 40 years since the children of Israel have come out of Egypt. And they didn't have email. They didn't have, you know, they didn't even have Fox News back then. And yet, as soon as this thing happened, the word traveled all through the then known world, all the way up to Jericho. And the people of Jericho, dread and depression came upon them. And for 40 years, the people of Jericho knew Israel's coming forth. Kind of fun. For 6,000 years, the enemy has known Israel's coming forth. I sure hope it's depressed him pretty bad. Now, that's another subject. Now, in chapter 3, verse 1, and we'll finish with the account of entering into the land. Chapter 3, verse 1, Joshua got up early in the morning. He left, and they left Shittim, came to the Yarden. He, with all the people of Israel, they camped before crossing. After 3 days, the officials circulated through the camp and gave the people these orders. And see the Ark of the Covenant of Adonai your Elohim and the Kohanim, who are the Levites, carrying it. You are to leave your position and follow it, but keep a distance between yourselves and it of about 1,000 yards. Don't come any closer, so that you will understand which way to go, because you haven't gone this way before. Interesting. Just saw this. In verse 4 there, the complete Jewish Bible actually has a typo. Yourselves is your elves. That could be a theology on its own, huh? Never seen that. As many times I've read that, I've never seen it. The message to us in that, I'm going to close my Bible so it doesn't get any wetter there, that is this. When you see order in the camp, know that we are preparing to make a change. When you see leadership come forth in the camp, know that things are about to happen. This last week, we saw leadership in the camp. We set up a Torah-based, a Torah-style government as best we could with the number of people we have. You know what happened? Order came in the camp. That's prophetic. I believe and I pray that that is going to continue to happen throughout the whole world. And as you see his presence,
it just got raining a little bit too much out there, and I went to wipe the computer off and just turned off the video there for a minute, so I'm going to finish in here. So as we see his presence, as we see his order come in the camp, we are going to see that to me is the prophetic significance of these last days. And that he's not going to start this last time period in just some haphazard way with all of us being so doctrinally scattered and so many different things. He's going to bring together a group that will get their eyes on the covenant, on the ark, that we'll get our eyes on His provision, supernatural provision, on His Torah, on His way of life. And when we see those things come to pass, we are going to start to see that's the prophetic sign. So with that, a little drier, a little warmer in here, and it's a little bit nicer. Get everything dried off a little bit. So Shavuot Tov. Have a wonderful, blessed week. And we'll keep walking this thing out just as we see it right now. Things change along the way. Well, that's what we'll do. But for now, Shavuot Tov. See you next week.